And welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and sitting right in front of me are my co-hosts.
I'm kind of off to the side, actually.
Well, okay, I'll angle myself.
All right, there you go.
I'll angle myself. To my left is Dustin, my financial expert and good buddy. And then right across the table from me is our MTG Yellow Belt producer extraordinaire, man on the mixing board.
Yeah, Cameron. There is a mixing board in front of us. It's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Memory.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So the question is this right now the most intensely produced Magic podcast ever because we're using a physical mixing board right now?
Probably. It's a little old school, I'd say.
How does that make it intense?
Do you see Cameron?
I'm
turning
like actually
those knobs?
Dialing knobs.
Oh,
right,
I
trying
see.
To get the bass correct. Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be more professional?
Professionally intense.
Professionally intense.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, we are on the Saturday night of SCG Kansas City. Cameron, you played standard. I did not.
Yeah.
I abstained.
But you probably had more success.
Well, let's get there. Let's first talk about your experience. So you drove down to Des Moines from Des Moines.
From Des Moines. Yep. So Friday, I came into town and hung out with you pretty much all afternoon, and we just kind of play tested. Mm-hmm. And so I had kind of like this brew of a Naya Planeswalker-ish mm-hmm. type deck. Mm-hmm. Played it a couple times, had some good success against like your blue-white control deck and moderate, okay competition against the monsters.
So yesterday, during your play testing, Curtis had told you that two Chandras was too many.
Yeah.
Was that the same thing today?
No.
So was two the right number?
Two felt right.
Okay.
I only sighted out a Chandra once in
right.
the entire time, but I can
all
get
right.
there.
All right.
But like the one card that I'm just like, I have to eat crow for, like absolutely have to, is Ajani, Mentor of Heroes.
He did get you 100 life.
We'll get there as well. So like I got so hung up on that ultimate ability that I wasn't really, I think, even paying attention to the other 2+1 abilities that card has.
Shouldn't you only be hung up on really his first ability?
No, you should, right?
Well,
right?
Well, hold on. So yeah. here's what was happening, though. We were playtesting, and you know, in people that seriously playtest, they create what's called a gauntlet, mm-hmm. where they put together each of the top decks, and then they run their deck against it. We didn't really have that kind of time because... Mm-hmm. Our schedules or
yeah.
resources. So I just had monsters and control. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were messing around initially with the deck, and I said, have you tried one Ajani? I loaned mm-hmm. him one. We tried it. We had really good results.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a one of card, but we eventually went to a two of just to mess around with the deck.
You put
right?
two in there?
I did put two in there. It was probably the best performing card of the day.
Right.
Aside from the one time that I actually did get the ultimate his ability off
right,
and
right,
get
right.
100 life to a mono black player, and that was really awesome. But yeah, so like that is a card really that I was like most up on this deck. Mm-hmm. Something that I just would never have really liked, but there's something really, really, really awesome about having an Elvish Mystic and put three counters on it, and
so
then
four,
put
four
another
Elvish
three,
Mystic, right?
And then like all of a sudden that thing is just a house.
Do people you play against not have Heroes Downfall or Doomblades or anything?
You know, the funny thing is that they were using them on everything else. So like all of my Planeswalkers
right.
that I had, like they would Heroes Downfall the Chandra, they would Heroes Downfall
but
the
But they'd leave
elf
your 7/7 elf.
But like, well, they would just, that would be earlier in the game.
Okay.
So that by the, you know, what, like turn 8... You know, they've already used like three or two
right, right.
Heroes Downfalls, and yeah, I'm just kind of set.
Weird.
And I also had like a Boros Charm, which actually, Boros Charms that actually helped with
right,
just
right.
going against black in that sense.
You weren't using the Soul of New Phyrexia?
No. No, I wasn't.
So this was all like a brew.
Yeah, this was totally a brew.
And very untuned, but we wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you pull up to the tournament, you sign in, we register, all those things. Let's walk, give us your tournament reports.
So, the first deck that I played against was a mono black devotion deck.
Okay.
And he honestly, like, he seemed like a fine player, but he just never got, like, the card advantage
right.
thing going on.
Was it the pack rat type?
Yeah, it was okay. the pack rat thing. And, you know, I just had enough hate in there where, especially when, you know, he was able to get the pack rat to kind of go off.
Right.
And I was able to just kind of like, you know, Selesnya Charm and then Banishing Light and I'm still kind of golden for that. So that was great. So that was actually the easiest match of the day. Was when 2-0 done with that.
And he was like skipping to tell me that he won his first match. He was pumped. Right. Anyway.
Yeah, it was great.
I would like to see Cameron skip.
Dude, you kind of saw that in St. Louis. I was pretty happy there.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Game two, or round two, went up against Mono Blue Devotion. And I thought it was a Mono Black, but this is the one where I actually ultimated a Johnny. And I just felt gross doing so.
Like, the comments that you made on the podcast just came back to haunt you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, that first game to go up to 100 life and then win the game. It was awesome.
So I recall a time when you said Xenagos was the god of formats. So yes. What does that make of Johnny?
The god of this deck.
Yeah, the god of this deck, right?
Okay.
Then, but I lost against that round three. Went up against another mono black deck. This one I did lose against as well, which was kind of a bummer, but whatever. And the hardest part about that was, like, he had me down to 2 life. I hit him down to 2 life. The next turn, I was going to just, you know, I could have done a number of things just to overwhelm mm-hmm. him. He had nothing on the board. And then, of course, just Gray Merchant. That's it. 2 life. I have no counters, nothing.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
It was, like, the only thing that I could have lost
that turn two.
So right. That really, really stunk. Then went up against a white devotion deck, and when you have 2 Stormbreath dragons online,
whatever,
they're just hosed, right?
Like, right.
There's nothing right. you can do about that.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Round whatever was Jun monsters, is green red monsters.
Okay. This would be round three, right?
Yeah. No, this is round four.
Round four. Did we skip a round?
No. We're good. We're good.
Okay. Maybe right. I'm just not listening to him.
Yeah. Dude, I'm like totally losing. this is like the worst thing. I'm totally losing track.
It's really hard to, by the way, to like recall this all after you finish a tournament.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for whatever reason, like 2 days later, to like really put the scope and sequence of the tournament together in your head. But yeah.
And I'm like blending because like in between each of the matches, like there's a lot of people from Des Moines. I saw a lot of them. So right. I just like kind of play test with them
right,
as well.
Right.
And so like I'm mixing like a mono red devotion and all this stuff. That's just,
would those be your fans that are following you?
No, not at all.
That's too bad.
All of Des Moines is his fan.
I see.
So anyway, last one I played against was a Bant control deck, which was actually one of the more interesting, just because I had never actually played against Bant control yet. And mm-hmm. it was just more than anything, I don't think it was a great deck. I think if you're going to go control route, blue-white is still a much better deck. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun deck, mm-hmm. just with having Kira in there. He had Advent of the Worm, which is really weird. So like there's just a lot of just interesting interactions that happen during that game.
Right.
I lost that one, which was kind of a bummer. So ended going 3-3, which not horrible, I guess. And then we went and got Chipotle afterwards.
Like every good Magic player.
Which makes you a winner.
Yeah. Curtis and I were the winners after that.
Right.
So. Yeah, we actually kind of had this epiphany that we didn't want to keep playing and not eat. Right.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
Yeah. So I didn't.
Especially really long tournaments, you always get that hunger right in the middle. And you don't want to buy event food.
Mm. Right.
No. Yeah.
And I didn't end up playing the Legacy Challenge, which was 5 to 9 o'clock, because we hadn't had lunch and I was very hungry. And I'm going to play Legacy tomorrow.
Didn't you take Cliff Bars? You always take Cliff Bars.
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
And I had.
Was it not enough?
No, it was not enough. You know, I actually, this is true. I buy enough Cliff or Power Bars for me and Dustin. Because every time,
so
I know that he's going to need one.
Yet I always turn him down. But he's always got the extras in his bag.
This is our relationship in a nutshell, right there. Right?
There you go.
Yeah. So I just want to say, like, the last thing I want to talk about with the Standard Tournament, and this is just something, like, I don't know if we have a lot of new players who listen to our podcast or not, but...
oh my God, did you get noticed?
No, aww. Nothing like that. But, like, I just noticed that, like... I'm still making very amateur mistakes.
Right.
Like, to the point where, I mean, like, it's definitely there's room to grow and everything, but, like, I was missing not a lot, but enough that, like, I feel like it did cost me certain games where, like, missing, like, a Planeswalker trigger or just, you know, not sequencing things the correct way and, you know, screwing it up or whatever.
Right.
So there's still a lot of room to grow. And I just, I don't know as far as like what you guys do. Do you have mental checklists that you go through just to make sure that everything on that board is good to go?
I think the thing is we've been playing so long, a lot of it's automatic for us.
Yeah.
I mean, because when we were younger, there was days upon days, especially in summertime, and it was just hours worth of game after game after game after game. And I don't know, you train yourself not to miss that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like practicing for marathons, right?
Yeah. And don't eventually get me wrong. Like, I am like tenfold better than I was even probably 7 months ago. But it just, it's like, that's the most upsetting part is still just like, oh, Cameron, like that was like, I know my opponent is totally judging me because I missed a trigger or something like that.
Right.
So here's what I'll say. And this is something that's kind of my perspective. So first of all, and I know Cameron and, you know, our listeners don't really know this, but you're a runner, you know, you've been involved in that kind of competition. And I think physical competition exists in a different space than mental competition does, because I feel like at physical competition, I always have a ceiling that I'm bumping up against.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's always a point I can get to where it's like, it's not about willpower. It's about, this is just as far as I can go. There is a plateau.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Magic, that ceiling or chess or poker is not as apparent to you. And there's a group of players that when they run into their first set of mistakes for a tournament, they go on tilt and they can't really handle it. Right? I've made, and you saw me make, an incredibly dumb set of mistakes today.
Yeah.
And I still went on to win that match. And I think one of the keys is to compartmentalize. Right? What, and sorry guys, I'm going to throw out some sports terminology. is to compartmentalize and create what's called an approach. So in professional baseball, you know, or basketball free throws are the same way. You know, you see these guys and they're like doing this thing with their batting gloves over and over again between every pitch. And you're like, what are they doing? As a spectator, you get so irritated.
Right.
Because you're like, I just want the next pitch and I want them to hit,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But what they're doing is compartmentalizing because there's so many mistakes that you make as a hitter that you have to say, okay, that happened, now I'm onto this pitch. You know, that happened, now I'm onto this pitch. And that's what they're trying to kind of do, and that's what you have to do with Magic.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, dude, I punted a game so hard today. Like, you, and Cameron was there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was, I think he thinks less of me as a human being.
It's true. Right. Yeah.
But it ended up working out.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I've done in the past, and maybe this just makes me a bad person, whatever.
Cheats a lot.
Well, no, it's not that. It's I typically play the game because it's fun, right? But every now and then, whether it's competitive or not so competitive, you have that opponent of yours that, you know, makes a couple mistakes here and there, and you might let it slide, but as soon as you make a mistake, they call you on it.
Sure.
Right? And in my head, it's like, you know, it's like, well, I let you get away with two things or let you take something back, and if you want to play this way, we'll play this way. And then I don't show it, but in my mind, I am like, there's no tomorrow.
Okay.
So I make sure that every little thing is done to the T on my side, his side, so on and so on. So, I mean, you don't want to project that anger and actually, you know, make it a bad experience for people, but you need to know that every little thing has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you get to that point and you're just watching every single thing, you'll be like Curtis, where if he does lose, he's just like biting his nails, wondering where he went wrong.
Yeah.
When in all reality, he might not have done anything wrong.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
A lot of it is luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had a huge discussion about this at the shop, and they asked me, what percentage of Magic I think is based on luck. And I said 10%. And I was the lowest percentage.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, I would. Okay. Yeah.
I think 10%. Now, keep in mind, we're taking the whole spectrum of all Magic players.
Right.
Okay. So if you're taking the average kitchen table guy versus your average tournament player, think about that, though. Like, how often is a tournament player going to win?
Yep.
A lot.
Aren't some people just luckier than other people, though?
Sure. Sure. If you're Walton, right, and you've inherited the Walmart fortune, you are a more fortunate human being than I am.
When you said Walton, I mean, like, thinking about this country family that lives on a mountain.
No, TV show, you
threw me off there.
No.
I'm like, what's that got to do with anything, right?
The Walton family that has inherited the billions and billions of dollars from Walmart.
The real Walton family.
Shout out Waltons. I love you guys.
I hate those guys.
Anyway, and this podcast is now going to be sued. No. anyway, so I just decided to show up in side draft. I've been really enjoying my time with M15 Limited. And guys, I'm going to give you a nugget of strategy, the Curtis method of drafting M15. I open the pack and I ask myself, is there a Frostlings?
A foil Frostlings.
I don't care what it is. I don't care what the rare is. I don't care. It's, is there a Frostlings?
Okay.
Because all I want out of my life is to open a Frostlings, pass the pack,
you know,
and open another Frostlings.
I understand that you're there to win and you're there to play the game, but if I open a foiled Nissa, I'm taking that over the Frostlings. Sorry. Can't help it.
No, that's fair. And that's logical. But Frostlings...
For playability.
9 times out of 10, Curtis right. would probably take that Frostlings.
So, yeah. So Frostlings is a common. When you're drafting, how many get passed to you? Have you ever had like 6 in one deck?
A crazy amount.
Okay.
So I've in 3 drafts of M15, okay, so I drafted twice today and I played right. 3 Frostlings.
Right.
Okay. I think I had 2 or 3 in my previous draft deck.
Right.
And I'm drafting the Welkin Turn Frostling deck. So my first draft, I drafted blue red. And here's my experience. Like halfway through the draft, it got kind of weird. You know, all of a sudden I wasn't seeing things, and I
did you sideboard out your Frostlings?
No, I wasn't. Like we're talking about halfway through the draft, and okay. I thought, man, somebody must have switched colors. And then I overhear the guy that sat next to me tell his buddy, "What I like to do is see what the guy to my right is drafting, and then take his colors so I can cut him out."
So he watches your picks.
Well, or
ooh,
like
that's dirty.
Or
that's
saw, dirty. Or yeah. like just through the packs, whatever. But he tried to right. cut me, which right. is ridiculous.
What you need to, you start Why? Like, you got to draft like you're playing poker, right? Where you just like bend up the corners of the cards to see what they are, you know, so well, no one can actually see what
I
you're
mean,
picking.
At competitive REL drafts, which Star City used to do, which I used to love, you know, it was much more like you had to put your pick in a container, you know, so you couldn't look at it again,
right, right.
whatever. So the point is, you
or
know,
sit at a round table. And then no one's like right there on
yeah,
your shoulder.
Yeah, and that was
right.
part of it yeah. as well. So at any rate, so I drafted a blue-red tempo deck and got to the finals and played against a guy that had, I can't remember, I think he might have been red, white, red, black. I don't know. It was red, mostly red, and then mm-hmm. something else. And he was playing Goblin Rabble Master.
Oh, yeah.
We got to game 3, and I mulled to 5. And just got crushed. Yeah. Or was that game 2 I got?
That was game 2 that you got
one of the
crushed,
games I yeah. mulled, and so yeah, it was right. just kind of like an auto loss. And then, but anyway, it was a good match.
You should have Frostlinks the Rabble Master.
I didn't get to Frostlinks mana. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
But I did have an Illusionary Angel.
But if you had taken the Evolving Wilds, like we talked about.
I did take an Evolving Wilds today.
Oh, okay. And you still
later.
Didn't get your mana.
Yeah, so... Weird. Anyway, these are $10 drafts, by the way. So the prize value is non-existent, okay?
Right.
So you $10, you get into the draft, and the only person that gets anything is the person that wins. They get 3 packs or a pass into the next
right,
draft.
Right, right.
That's it.
Right.
It's single elimination. So, and of course, I don't open anything of value. My first draft, the my deck is so devalued in terms of what's in it, I don't go with sleeves.
No foil black cats, no
hilarious.
Nothing.
No,
yeah.
I just straight raw Man. Dog it. And I did have a siege dragon, but that was like it. So anyway, the Curtis All Common Special.
Yeah.
Then I go to my next draft, and you know I'm going mono green. I get a Yusan, I get a Colonian Twin Grove, and then all of a sudden, what gets passed to me? Frostlings. So
now you're blue green.
Yeah, I splash 2 or 3 islands in an Evolving Wild,
right,
and a Frostlings, a Void Snare, and like something into the void or whatever the,
right,
the bounce
right,
two creatures
right, right.
are. And so I'm all pumped about this deck because I'm like, I've got
Cameron. I find this funny that just like a week ago he was dogging me for taking the Evolving Wilds for a draft out of draft. Pack.
I wasn't dogging you. I don't think.
And next thing you know. He's got Evolving Wilds and like
you
all of his drafts.
Like I devoted a segment to you picking Evolving Wilds.
It was like a half hour hate of me picking Evolving Wilds. I remember this clearly, right?
Yeah. So here's what happened. I sit down. I'm all excited for this deck because I really like it. And my opponent drops. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I just pay $10, rare draft, and then drop. And then I get into another one.
Honestly, that's good value though. I mean...
It depends
Sometimes,
on the set.
Yeah, it sure, depends on what sure. you're opening or what's getting passed.
But at any rate, I do that. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I got to buy. Round two, I win, and then the finals, I win a squeaker. And the opening game of this is where I mean, it was just like I traded two creatures because I misread the text. It was bad. But game three, I get the Yasan. What's his something with the Wanderer Bard?
The Wanderer,
yeah. Right?
I get him active.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa! That card is bananas, and he's got a flyer that he can swing in to kill me. Yasan's on two, tap, put him to three. What do I go get?
Hang on. This is M15. Oh, Frostlynx.
I get a Frostlynx. Tap that bad boy down and kill him.
Right?
And I get three packs that are worth nothing. Yeah.
So all together, it was a how many Frostlynx day?
Just three.
So out of the first draft and the other one together was three total Frostlynx.
Yeah.
That's sad. As a common, I would expect you to have more than that.
Hey, dude.
Hey.
I'll take it every time.
Yeah. I know.
And by the way, the surprise of the draft, I know this is not really that great limited analysis. Welcome Turn's been really disappointing to me. There's a lot of things that can deal one damage.
I think the reason is because it's not a Suntail Hawk.
That's probably the problem.
I mean, you know.
But Satyr Wayfinder's been shockingly a big overperformer for me. I mean,
Right. Basically,
you just have to be okay with letting things hit the yard. But yeah. It is a go get it. Like, if it was two mana and said get a land out of your deck, you would play that every time,
all the time,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's, I mean, the chances of that happening are really high. And generally speaking, on two, if you don't hit any lands with it, then you've gotten closer to lands, which you'll likely need. So that's kind of my quasi-limited analysis. It is such good EV. I almost want to not play Legacy just to draft tomorrow.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I was thinking
because
about playing
Modern.
It is
crazy good value.
I really think it would just be better instead of spending $40 on a Modern tournament and not knowing I'm not going to get anything out of it.
So play four drafts instead?
Yeah, just play four drafts. And
so do
right?
it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's stopping you?
Yeah. Nothing. Nothing at all.
So
I will foil black cats.
Exactly.
I'll still likely play Legacy, but man, the drafts, it's just such good value. And by the way, again,
watching you, it looked so much fun too.
Yeah, and it's very chill comparatively. I just want to say this because, you know, we always try to mention them and we kind of trashed on Star City Games St. Louis because of the experience. This has been an opposite experience. It was good parking, good space.
Yeah.
The judge staff ran everything so cleanly. Like,
maybe they learned from St. Louis.
I think it was part of the venue, whatever, but props to them for this time around. So, hey guys, we got some spoilers to talk about. So let's cut out of this segment, come back, talk spoilers. Okay, guys, so we've got some information about Cons of Tarkir because of the San Diego Comic-Con panel. So we do know that...
Is it horsemanship? Did it come back?
No.
Aww.
Are you ready for it?
Are you ready for it? This is like... I'm very excited.
Is this a card, a mechanic? What are
we? I don't
want
to say that the people at WotC definitely listen to our show, but I think they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They definitely listen to our show.
Is it a new mechanic or is it a
returning mechanic that I'm
cycling?
No, that I'm over the moon for.
Over the moon for.
Yeah,
and it's not cycling. I like cycling.
You're close.
You're very close.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Is it that? Is it Morph?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aww. Morph is back.
Why is Morph back? No.
Morph is the best, man.
No.
I like Morph.
He was the worst one on the X-Men cartoon too.
Well, that let's not like,
I'm just
hold
saying.
All morphs to that standard. All
right, fine.
Morph is so skill intensive and so interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. And it
why can't I just have Illusionary Mask? And then it's like I'm morphing everything.
I don't know, Dustin.
I know, right?
Morph was in Onslaught. You know what else was in Onslaught? Cycling.
Yeah. So some of the cards that we got back in M15 were in Onslaught.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So here's what I want to do. They've decided, okay, this is like Alara, but with the wedge colors, right? So
okay. The
three color pairs that didn't exist on Alara block.
Okay.
And what we mean by wedge for people that are like, what the heck are you talking about?
You're talking like Savage Land type lands, but with
the opposite color. So if you're looking colors. At the back of the Magic card, it creates a triangle,
okay.
Right? We are not referring to the greatest star pilot in the galaxy. Okay.
Of course not.
Don't judge me on that, Cameron.
I'm not.
I feel like you're getting ready to be very contentious about Wedge, and that would have been a problem. Anyway,
wouldn't
so
technically Luke Skywalker be the best? He blew up the Death Star.
Well, he's got the he's a Jedi. Like well, that doesn't
so
count.
So he doesn't. Yeah. So you can't be both.
No. Well, okay, fine. The best non Jedi Star.
Okay,
fight.
There we go.
And by the way, last time I checked, Wedge lived through 2 Death Star runs.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And he didn't wreck his snowspeeder.
There you
Booyah.
Go.
Right?
There you go.
Booyah. Okay, ready? So I am going to the colors have new names. So remember with Alara Block, they did like...
So there's like Grixis, there was Bant, there was...
Esper, Naya. I'm missing one. But anyway.
Okay. And then...
Jund.
Didn't they like take other...
Jund, there you go.
Like people named the other colors, like Junk and stuff like that, right?
Well, so the... Then there's the Ravnica guilds.
Okay.
But sometimes we skip those, right? So right. like you don't... I mean, a lot of times Black Red is Black Red, not Rakdos.
Well, guilds are only 2 color.
Right. But almost every red-white deck is referred to as Boros.
Right.
So some of these names stick, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay? Nobody calls it Azorius Control, right? I mean, well, people
actually,
do.
People do.
But it's, I always say blue-white.
Yeah,
it's
a lot. Blue
good
white,
example, Cameron.
Blue-white is
good
a lot
example.
More
common. I think it's a better example.
But you don't hear people say blue-white-black. They say Esper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, white-black-green.
White-black-green.
I just don't think you're prepared for how bad these are. Okay? Now, I might be mispronouncing these. But white, black, green, which was previously known as Junk, is now Abzan.
Abzan? Abzan.
A-B-Z-A-N.
Z-A-N. Abzan. Wow. No.
Okay.
You know that Wizards just took like 2 names. We'll say, I don't know, like Abby over here
right,
and
right.
I don't know.
Isn't Abzan like what, like you would name a tiger that in like Arabian Nights or something,
sure.
right?
That would make, yeah.
I mean, wow.
Incoming
weird.
Cultural inappropriateness. No, dude, here's the thing. I what they probably did is like focus group tested these and all kinds of crazy things. And they really could have just hired Dustin. And if he just had the, are you kidding me look?
like next.
call it Junk.
right.
Okay, so blue, white, red, which people awkwardly call American, whatever.
Right.
Is
which is technically French, right?
Yeah. Jeskai.
Jeskai? How do you spell Jeskai?
J-E-S-K-A-I.
Telling you.
Okay, why do I feel like some developer had 2 kids, one named Jessica, one named like Kylie or
exactly.
something. It's like, oh, it's
yeah.
Jeskai.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are famous now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that you... This is actually about to get a lot worse. So, bug colors is Sultai.
Sultai.
S-U-L-T-A-I. I think that's actually the best one.
Sultai? Okay, so is it just me or like Esper and Naya and stuff? Like,
I mean, the least bad one. How's
okay.
that?
Okay, so Esper, Naya, stuff like that just rolls off the tongue, right? But this is all like fancy evil wizard names or something,
right? It's
like
right? they had a meeting and like the boss is like, all right, I want 5 names at the end of the meeting.
Right,
and they're all like,
right.
Jeskai.
Right.
all right, so.
God.
Red, white, black.
Okay.
Which is a witch that doesn't really have a nickname, right? It's been called Team Italia before.
Okay.
Mm. Is Mardu.
Mardu?
M-A-R-D-U.
What?
Forever it will be called Marmaduke.
Wow.
And then Rug, okay, which is nice, clean, rolls off the tongue, is Timur.
Timur?
T-E-M-U-R.
Timur.
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 Wow.
Now, that's all the bad stuff from this set, okay? I'm about to show you the greatest thing about this set is the art
thing.
That they spoiled.
Okay.
Describe the picture you're looking at.
Okay, so we got this obviously Mongolian-looking guy punching a bear in the face with his tongue all, well, the bear's tongue is all like.
Yeah, flopping. Like,
yeah. Like Rocky style.
So the question is, great magic art or greatest magic art?
It doesn't scream magic to me.
Dude, I want this on a shirt.
Are you kidding me? That is amazing.
Don't get me wrong. The artwork's good, but it doesn't scream magic. You know,
it screams, I'm going to punch you in the face. It's amazing.
To me, it looks like
and
something
I don't care
you
if you're
see.
A bear.
Yeah.
It's like something you would see in like a more hardcore Mulan movie, right? It's exactly what's going on, right? It makes sense.
Hardcore Mulan?
Yeah.
Let's, no.
No, that's, yeah.
Like okay. violent Mulan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
So, 2 cards spoiled because okay. there's going to be a dual deck, okay?
Of course.
So Zergo Helm Smasher is
Zergo. Yeah, that helps the names too.
Dude, I think Zergo's a better name than any of the wedges I just said.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now
these could be like maybe of like Mongolian Asian descent or something. We're pronouncing them completely wrong, right?
Right.
Let's hope.
Let's hope.
Okay.
Zergo Helm Smasher is 2, a red, a white, and a black. Okay.
Okay.
For a 7/2 haste legendary orc warrior.
7/2?
With haste.
Haste.
He attacks each turn of Abel. He's indestructible as long as it's your turn. And whenever a creature deals dealt damage to Zergo Helm Smasher this turn dies, put a +1/+1 counter on him. Okay.
So basically we play this guy for 5 mana.
He's a 7/2.
And then someone just magma sprays him.
Not on your turn.
Not on your turn, right. You pass the turn, right, whatever.
So, but by the way, they better be giving us some sweet lands. Because 2, a red, a white, and a black.
Well, easily they could put in the allied colored pain lands.
Yeah, right?
Oh. Right.
Okay, here's the one. We'll say this one's got my dander up. I'm pretty excited, right?
Your dander? Like your dust bunnies and stuff are just like active?
Yes.
Okay.
3 colorless, blue for Arcanus the Omnipotent.
So 6 mana.
6 mana.
Okay.
For a legendary wizard, he's a 3/4. Okay. Tap. Draw 3 cards. That's what I am talking about.
What's the downside?
Yeah. 2 blue, return him to your hand.
Okay.
The end.
That's it?
That's
Is he
it.
Legendary?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not so bad. I'd like a way to cheat him out. 6 is a bit much.
So the sound you just heard was the Soul of Ravnica being rendered completely irrelevant forever.
He kind of was
the
anyway.
The bulkiest of the bulk, right? Yeah.
Right. And what I like about both, like, okay, I'm going to talk about Arcanus first, is like with Prophet of Kruphix, this becomes really interesting, right? Because you can actually flash him in and activate him really quickly.
Right, right.
Right. And if you are able to have 2 untapped steps with him, thank you very much. I'll take lots of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Maybe I'm living in Mystery Dreamland or Magical Christmas Land, but I really like that. What do you guys think of these cards?
So to me. The thing I'm thinking, even
I think it's pronounced Timur.
Oh, my bad. even with the blue guy, I mean, yes, drawing through cards, amazing, whatever. 6 mana in blue is rough. You know? You're gonna hope that you're stabilized by that point.
One would hope.
And if you are, then yeah, game over, right?
Indeed.
But the other guy, I mean, he's going to attack. Someone's probably going to block him. He doesn't have trample. He'll be an 8/3, and then I feel like they're going to kill him on third turn pretty easily.
Hey, here's a hero's downfall.
Yeah, something. You know. Eh.
What do you say?
So when Aetherling rotates out, I feel like this would be the card that you would try to put in its place. Maybe? I don't know. I mean, it's still kind of late with when you want card draw a little bit maybe earlier, but I don't know.
One or two of seems right.
It does, right?
I'm thinking more of a 0, but yeah, whatever.
So, well, again, I think this is slam dunk better than Prognostic Sphinx, but it does not fly. So that matters.
Okay, so I understand Pie in the Sky, man. You want this to happen. You want this to be on the field. I don't see this thing getting played. I see a couple attempts here and there, and then I see failure.
Think Convoke, though. I mean, I don't know.
He doesn't have Convoke. How are you going to get him out early?
Well, no, but other Court of Calling.
So how much mana are we paying?
Well, look,
I don't know.
We don't know. And honestly, it's going to be really interesting to see how the wedge affects Devotion.
Mm.
Because if there's these gold multicolored cards, mm-hmm. Devotion gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's something we would like to see, correct?
Right, right.
Plus, these gold legendary creature cards, that means for your Industin commander players, they're going to be wanting them. You're going to be wanting to sell to them.
I get that. But we're talking like
standard
play, if not multi-format play. It's been really rare that something like this out of a dual deck sees that much play.
That's true.
You know,
good old Paul Kronos, we totally
right.
took to town and we're like, it's worthless.
Right.
It's really good.
Okay, so, I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, and some of the dual decks come out, obviously, with, you know, good Planeswalkers in them, like when they had to redo Jace Architect, stuff like that.
Sure.
But when it's stuff that's, you know, new, not necessarily a dual deck of stuff that's already out, it just usually doesn't fly.
Yeah, I hear you.
We'll see.
I hear you. I just want to draw 3 cards. That's all I really want.
I get it. It's called Ancestral Recall.
Mm.
I mean, do I want the format to be in a place where Frostlynx is playable and good? Yeah, I do.
Let's go play Vintage, man.
Vintage with Frostlynx?
No, hey, with Ancestral Recall and draw your 3 cards.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, man, with the Black Lotus, you can Frostlynx on turn 1. That's true.
You could, technically, yes. Okay. And play an island and still Ancestral Recall. You could do both.
Fair enough. All right. Cameron, are we like super overtime?
No, we're sitting kind of average of where we always sit.
All right. Well, let's have you become a spike. All right. So every week we like to have...
Almost every week.
Almost every week.
You've ruined it. It can't be every week anymore.
Okay.
Unless you catch up and do like 3 a day for like the next week, then we can say we're good. We're back.
I'll think about it.
All right.
If I think about it, I mean, no way.
Of course.
So, Cameron, we'd like to give you an older card, have you evaluate it. What's your card this week?
This week we have Flicker Wisp.
Mm-hmm.
Cost 1 white. It's a creature and it's an elemental. It has a power and toughness of 3/1 and has flying. It also has this text: when Flicker Wisp enters the battlefield, exile another target permanent. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So I think this would be good on two fronts. If you have a creature where there is an activation when it enters the battlefield and it causes something else to happen, I'm trying to think, you gain 2 life, or you know, you're able then to exile another creature, or it deals 2 damage.
Curtis, how many times do you Flicker Wisp to gain an extra 2 life?
All the time.
All the time.
I'm just
all the time.
As an example, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take that burn.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, maybe if you have like a creature that was enchanted or something like that, you would exile that creature to
knocking off that pacifism.
Yeah, pacifism, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's legacy playable, right?
Well, if they pacify your Suntail Hawk.
Exactly.
You can play a Flicker Wisp to knock it off.
Exile it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But no, you're really wanting to use this to bring in or to exile that creature, whatever card that you have, to put it back into play that will then give you more advantage in some capacity.
Do you know what deck this is played in?
No, I don't.
Death and Taxes.
Death and Taxes. This is like one deck that I'm not familiar with at all.
So there's a card called Mangora of Corindor. I believe that's right. Mangara, maybe?
Mangara.
Of Corindor. And his thing is, once he's in play, he has the ability of tap, and you can exile... Is it target permanent?
Or, and you have to exile...
And you exile him Mangara as well, right? So basically, you put the ability on the stack, target something of theirs. Mangara would be leaving, but you Flicker Wisp, he actually leaves, so he doesn't get exiled. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Flicker Wisp. There's a couple other things that you can use with Mangara to bounce them that way. And essentially, you kind of get them in a lock where every turn you're just exiling one of their things. So you're always ahead of them.
Are you using Flicker Wisp with like Aether Vial in order to kind of flash it in?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a common use. I will say that the Flicker Wisp, you can also use it in an offensive way, like because it says at the beginning of the next end step, you can do something to one of their things at their end step via Aether Vial. And then it doesn't come back in until your end step. You see what I mean? Because it's the next end step. I will also say that this card is seeing less and less play in Death and Taxes because it's cute and it can do some things. But against some of the decks that don't have permanents, you're really not doing a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is an interesting card and there are a lot of really tricky things you can do. But it's not the bee's knees. And this is why you're also seeing Bramaz and Legacy kind of creep up in that deck, because it's way better in grindy matchups.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're not...
Same casting cost.
And you're not as dead to Punishing Fire.
Sure.
Right, if you have a Bramaz or two. So, good card, though. Obnoxious card. Like, I kind of actively hate it.
Right.
And the art is creepy.
Yeah,
it's kind of awesome.
Really. Yeah.
Kind of awesome.
All right, so let's wrap up the show, Cameron.
Yeah.
If someone would like to get a hold of Dustin... Is it possible?
I don't think it is.
Not possible.
Yeah. They can come to Iceland. We'll hike some mountains.
So you're in Iceland now?
Yeah, totally.
Nice.
Right this second.
But you feel so close.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, what about you, Cameron?
I'm on Twitter, @Cameron_McCoy.
And I am @CurtisNow. We are also on Twitter as a show, @SpikeFeedMPG.
See, he says he's on Twitter, which is kind of like a fictional place. How come I can't be in Iceland right now? And that'd be fictional, right? Doesn't that work?
I didn't want to be the one to tell you this, but Iceland is real.
Yeah, well, fictionally, I'm in Iceland, right? Because he can't actually be in Twitter.
Can we flicker wisp Dustin out of
Can we flicker wisp this conversation? Yeah. So our show feed, or our show Twitter feed, is at SpikeFeedMTG. You can also catch up with our show on BrainstormBrewery.com, MTGCast.com, and SpikeFeed.com. We will check you guys next week.